that movie was good, but the show is kind of the same thing. It's like next year, you're like, wait, this is past him.
Meeting here on August 15th. So we'll get a silent roll call.
Which meeting are we in?
Well, this is Monday, August 15th.
No. Development Which Review Board.
Huh?
Development Review Board's first, I assume.
Yeah.
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 And then Steve's workshop.
Yeah, which will.
All right.
All right.
Pledge allegiance.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Yes, we could do that.
You don't have to get up. You don't have to.
No, okay.
One nation, one God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. So we got item number one. Is approval of the Development Review Board minutes dated July 11th.
Mm-hmm. So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That was easy.
All right. Look at that. Okay.
Item two.
Item number two, which will get delayed.
Item number two is to be deferred to a later date.
Yeah, correct. Deferred to another date.
Do we have to approve the draft minutes?
You just did.
Those are the ones you just did. Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
they did vote on that, right?
Okay, I'm losing my mind. Never mind.
That's delayed for a number of reasons. All right, so then item number three, discussion of possible action request for single family residence in Mountainside Zoning District overlay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Chairman Cross and members of the Development Review Board. Thank you for being here this evening. And we'll walk through another one of our Mountainside cases, this one located up at 39037 Silver Saddle Drive. As you look at the contextual map, pardon?
Speaker's not.
You can't hear me? No?
A little bit. Okay, maybe it's just me.
Is it you?
All right, I'll turn up the hearing aids.
Okay. I can try to speak up a little bit more.
All right.
Speak into the microphone.
Yes, okay. located up in our Highlands off of Silver Saddle, and in fact you can see a little bit to the south the location of our Carefree Water Company water tank facility. Contextually, the town borders the city of Scottsdale. As we look a little bit more closely at the aerial map, you can see our water facility a little bit more in view. This lot just in essence just slopes really from the southeast corner of it down, heading north towards Silver Saddle Drive. As you probably read in your report, really other than some protected plants, the significant aspect of this particular property are its steep slopes. And with that said, you can see in the slope analysis, pretty much the majority of the lot is steep slopes, particularly in the highest category of over 30%, as it sort of slopes in various locations to a little bit less, but still over 25%. The applicant looked to locate the home, as you can see, in sort of an area of, as best they could, with the least amount of topography. to understand the site plan, I thought this was a good diagram, particularly in respect to the size of the property. It's occupying kind of a smaller portion of the property closest to the roadway as it can. You can see, though, it is there is a disturbance area, mostly due to the garage based on the orientation of the driveway, kind of based on the orientation of the home. With respect to our zoning standards, the development standards in the Rural 190, as many of you know, we have a lot coverage of not to exceed 6%, where this one is almost 2%. The disturbed area, again, is up to 18% maximum. This disturbs 16.4%, and that probably is a lot to do with getting to the home itself with regards to the driveway. They've met the cumulative height requirement, 40 feet, so from the lowest retaining wall to the highest point on the roof line is just under 40 feet. And the building itself from finished floor is just over 19 feet. With respect to grading and drainage, which is also reviewed by our town engineer, those development standards have been met. Water will go around the development, and the cut-to-fill ratio as well has been met. The site is served by Carefree Water, although in transition for water service. As you read in your report, there is a question of pressure in that area, and condition of approval, they will be a private booster station will be necessitated. The property is on a private septic system. With respect to Development Review Board, in your purview, I mean, you're looking at the development in terms of its slopes that necessitates, again, this review. You're looking at retaining walls, particularly at the driveway and the building pad. Those have been those are in place to contain slopes as required to do so. We do talk about wall height allowances. In this case, there's a 14-foot grade change at the building pad, not the buddling pad, but the building pad. No new terminology. That's just a mistake on my part. What is important, though, in that regard and the fact that we have these terrace retaining walls is that the roof line is still higher than the tallest retaining wall. The home is designed with some Southwest aesthetics, and as we look at the landscape plan, there'll be revegetation with native materials. As you can see, this is sort of, you can see that there's landscaping that will be provided within the entire disturbed area as well as between the terrace retaining walls. In this case, the applicant submitted a flyover in terms of that we allow rather than a static model. So let me hopefully that'll work at this moment. This gives you an idea of what the development will look like from all angles, from a lot of different vantage points, particularly from some of the surrounding property owners, where in many cases a lot of the development won't even be seen. I sometimes feel like we should add music to this or something like that. In any case, so you can see again that the retaining walls are sort of in place to maintain the grade, sort of allow for maneuverability around the site. The driveway, as designed, needed additional area at the top, particularly at the driveway. That was a requirement of Rural Metro, a little turnaround space. Disturbance is minimized, again, as you can see, to the edge of the development. And so I think that gives you a really good idea of what the home will look like once it's been constructed. Okay. Oops, don't want to do that again. In terms of public process, citizen participation requirements, the applicant nor did staff receive any comments from the letters that were sent within 500 feet of the property. And in this case, again, conditions for approval are attached to the report. They're typical to our usual standards, conditions of approval, with the exception of the water, the booster pump requirement. So with that said, I'm happy to answer any questions, and the applicant and his representative are here, or the owner, excuse me, and the applicant are here as well. If you have any specific questions for them, I'm sure they're happy to answer.
Not much of a question, just a statement. I went over there and visited it. It's going to fit in quite well with that whole neighborhood, and that was my thoughts on it.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Yeah, I mean, this looks like a nice project, and it's been done right.
Okay. Can you tell me if there's an HOA?
Commissioner Davey, there is no HOA. Or Board Member Davey, there is no HOA in this case.
I think both lots are.
I mean, it isn't a known subdivision, but they do not have an HOA.
Okay.
Any other questions?
And the fire department is satisfied that emergency vehicles get egress?
Yes, Board Member Davey, absolutely.
That's pretty awesome.
Yes, they did. Yeah, in fact, you probably saw that little turnaround. I believe I'm correct. The turnaround that's up at the top of the it doesn't do that for me. I don't have a pointer, but
it was in the one before.
You can see there's a turnaround. You can see near the blue building. You can see the turnaround that kind of jets, kind of I would say, kind of north at the top of the property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It showed nicely in the slide that you had on before.
That's true. Yes, it does. There you go.
That's a good one.
That one, too. Mm-hmm.
That's a good slide.
Any other questions?
No.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 That was hard.
Go have dinner.
I know. Thank you. I appreciate your time. I know it's been a bit of a longer process than expected, but
we want this house done in 2 months.
Ready to move forward. Welcome. They're probably going to adjourn, and then yes, we're good.
We told them we want the house done in 3 months.
I'm sure he would like the house done in 3 months.
He'd like to find a builder.
He's got a builder, but they got to get going.
Got a builder.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, contractor's sign is already on the site.
Congratulations on that.
All right, so next on our agenda.
Okay, well, in that's the case.
We didn't need a half an hour.
Adjournment.
We had moved, somebody made a motion to adjourn.
Adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Everyone, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right. All right. Well, we had two cases. Well, that's why it would have been a little
higher. Yeah. During meetings and voting.
And now we have to wait a half an hour? 20 minutes?
20 minutes. No, 19 minutes.
Oh, okay.
19.
Did that too quickly.
I got to get up and walk around anyway.
Yeah. Oh, stretch your legs.
You're all set? Yeah. I mean, you're welcome to sit down next meeting, but no, you're all good.
I can't feel my feet. I just try to fall down.
I think Mr. Spencer was asking about the next steps, and I think that you probably haven't made your step into the middle yet.
Kirby tells everybody he's driving this daisy.
Right.
Yeah.
So remember that you got your first review comments and that puts you into this process. But if you answer all of those comments and resubmit to us, we'll try to get an invitation.
You don't look like Morgan Freeman, but I feel like the old lady. Dr. Creasman sent me to Dr. Steingart, who does the knee gel injections.
I'm part of that.
Yeah, what happened was 3 weeks after Dr. Creasman fixed my torn meniscus.
I have seen your email.
I was feeling pretty good.
No, you're welcome.
I went to the bistro and I tripped over some little thing that was jutting out and went, caught my right foot on it, went flying forward and landed on the hard floor on my left knee, which is the one that had the torn meniscus surgery. And when I went back to Dr. Creasman, he did a little, for the post-surgical follow-up, he did an x-ray in his office and said, yeah, I know it hurts and it's a little swollen, but there's no fracture. But you may have torn the same meniscus in a different place. So go get an MRI so I can see what I'm getting into. I said, well, instead of doing one downstairs from you, like I did the first time, going to 4th Avenue in Osborne, can you just call it into Thompson Peak? And he said, sure. So he called it into Thompson Peak. And they didn't have anything until the end of May. This was the beginning of May. But they had a cancellation at 92nd and Mountain View. So I said, for the next time. I said, I'll take it.
Outside of Tomahawk,
well, the senior tech was in a really bad mood.
We're so far away.
And I just had the epidural block on my back. Try to make it feel like I wasn't really sitting on hot coals. And it made me feel somewhat better, but then I'm lying on a hard MRI table. And I said, oh, I had an epidural block yesterday, and this is hurting it. And so the sweet young tech ran and got some padding, and she put it under my upper back. And I said, oh, actually, it was my lower back where the discs are rolling. And this is making it hurt even more. She started to run off and get more padding. And the older tech, who was probably her boss, he was looking for a flip-skill kill. She didn't date. Because the next patient was waiting. And I wasn't late. Okay. I waited after I did the little bit of paperwork because I'm already in the system. And I waited while I undressed and put on the hospital gown. So I waited twice for them. I did not hold them up. But she was still pissed off. And my knee was too swollen to fit in a nice little MRI plastic cradle. So instead of saying, well, we really can't do the MRI today, she just pushed down on me as hard as she could, grabbed it down flat, and then she couldn't get the lid closed. So she pulled it all the way back, and I can't do this because my right shoulder hurts. But she pulled it all the way back, like, welcome. And I think, oh, at this point, I might as well get the MRI and see what the anesthetist did to me. policeman was completely and utterly horrified. Instead of a little prime minister's tear, she managed to crush the cartilage in 2 out of 3 sections of my knee. So she took a perfectly good knee and ruined it. And he said, instead of running right to a knee replacement, go to Dr. Steingart and try the gel injections. I'm going for my 5th out of 5 one tomorrow. And they haven't really done anything, but the thing that was great is that Mike Steingart's father, Paul, was the doctor for some of the professional Phoenix sports teams. And he graduated from the same medical school as Herbie, but the year Herbie was born. Yeah, he graduated in 1954. Herbie was born in 1954. I mean, Mike is our age. I am. He's like 65. But he's real into sports. And, you know, is an orthopedic surgeon who also, you know, treats some of the team people. And his father, Paul, was Vince Delicia's doctor.
No matter what.
Kid. And we were telling him about Vince's sports show. He was the guest of honor at Vince's sports show Saturday morning. So it accomplished something. That's a big straw.
Get it out of here.
Yeah.
No water in the creek.
Yeah.
No water in the creek.
So it wasn't all bad. Yeah, at least Vince got somebody who was able to tell interesting behind-the-scenes stories on his radio show Saturday morning.
You know what?
Don't even say that. Ralph, I am such a dirty
day. Oh, Chris was wonderful. But he wanted me to try this.
Well, I do not.
Well, the T-shirt, yeah. But at least it's the right color, though. At least you got the right color or the lack of color. At least you did that. So you coordinated those
announcements.
She went half with it. She went half with it.
I was
like, I didn't do anything except being my usual
thank
self.
Thank you.
My shorts and Hawaiian shirt.
But I like Steingart's office. They all recognize the fact that masks are completely useless. Yeah. Nobody wears masks, and he's got his 2 rescue dogs there.
Yeah.
So I get to play with dogs.
That's cool.
And I can breathe.
I can sit over here if you want.
Yes.
And then I'll just do it from here. And then I'll just have a conversation here. Yeah. Are we? I mean, you guys want to sit here or you want to sit up here? It's up to you, because I know you're...
Well, just you're kind of comfy.
She's comfy.
Let us sit where she's...
Not her Baker move.
Yeah, wait for me to do my face plant walking down the stairs till after the meeting's over.
Well, she's got to leave eventually.
Well, yes, that's what she'll fall. When she leaves.
Yeah, but we may as well wait till the meeting's over so I can actually participate before I do my face plant. Yeah.
It's up to you guys.
Yeah, we'll stay up there.
Dan, do you want to scan the dais or come sit at a table?
Are we going to be using the overhead? Yeah, I'd rather just sit here then. I get a better view.
Okay.
Yeah, nobody wants to move. All right. No one can move. You can sit over there.
Hey, look, I'm just trying to be
calm. We're
just
going to stand the
diet. Yeah, well.
This is a work session. We were going to kind of sit at the table.
No, we'll sit up there.
Sure. That's what I didn't want to do my face plant trying to get down the stairs till after the meeting was over. I could actually participate in the meeting without having my face broken. Yeah, we're sitting up here because we're important, right? That's right.
The same day as Illustrious Town Council sits at. Which a whole bunch of people were re-elected.
Thank God.
I was having fun with Vinny today.
I do that all the time.
Well, me too, but John was over at town hall. And I said, boy, somebody's just worming in that little ahead of time. I said, he's sitting in the mayor's, John. And then Vinny walks in. I said, so John goes, it's the Italian American Club.
Yeah.
It was me, John, and Vinny, so it was the Italian American Club.
Yeah.
I don't know, people don't realize, but John's last name is a misnomer. I mean, he's 100% Italian on his mother's side.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. That's what
I've been friends with John since 1997.
Well, then you should know that. Yeah. It scratches me up when people crane. That's a misnomer.
It's hot.
Yeah. It's not. It's 75 or so.
But it's warm in here. Put the air on.
Maybe they have a clean filter out.
Put the air on.
I know, I couldn't get it off either. That's what mine looks like it does.
I got it off. I think I broke it. I got it off.
I actually had it like this.
These are the meetings. This is the meeting.
Ouch.
I approved it.
I can't believe I buggered up my shoulder getting out of the pool.
Well, don't go in the pool.
It's only my third time this summer. I used to be in the pool twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
I love the pool.
We got
I have no problem getting in because I can dive, but getting out.
We got rid of our tub. Well, we got rid of it because certain little creatures took it over.
Oops.
That's not good.
Oh, it was so funny because it was in these holes in the base around it.
Yeah.
And we called our pest control guy, and he comes and he goes, "Well, you got family living in here." I go, "Oh." So he opens up everything. He's got guys scattering to the back, because, you know, underneath. So we called Terry, found some guy in Cape Creek. Him and his son, they came in and cut it all up and got rid of it. Then we made another patio back there where the hot tub was. We had it cemented off and made another patio. She likes that out there anyway because it's down low and she feels like she's in her garden because we got the great landscaping all over.
If we didn't have a pool, our dogs would be devastated. Yeah.
Well, we didn't need
a Dan's pool. A dog person. He can laugh at this.
We got no dogs. Our birds don't care that we didn't have a pool. I have a pool. They don't care. We're getting a new one on Wednesday.
Don't your dogs get dried out from the pool?
They don't seem to.
Okay.
We actually had to have Rai Rai shaved one time. He and his sister were our first two wolf dogs.
Yeah.
And they were part border collie, and he had the long border collie coat. And I mean, he was in the pool constantly. And he started to smell funky. And he was very alpha. And we had his five kids that were raised by their mother, their father, their aunt, and their grandmother, who were all rescues. The five were born in our bedroom. And when I took him and had him shaved, which is what our vet said was the only way to get rid of this fungus on his skin. Yeah. I started putting him out in the backyard, and he was like, "Who's this strange dog?" And he went, "Err." And they went, "Oh, it's Dad!" And bellies hit the ground as far as the eye could see.
Steve, where'd you get this picture?
I didn't get the picture. This is Matt's picture.
Oh, Matt took it?
Yeah, you said the same exact thing the last time, too.
Oh. Just to show you how to pay attention to everything. See, it all looks new to me. A whole new thing.
Yeah. No, it's
been a long since I've been to a meeting.
Yeah, the colors of these buildings are a little different. Some of them.
I've been screwed up since November.
That's been a while long.
We got 7 more minutes.
Have you guys seen Character Drive lately?
Hmm?
It's looking a lot nicer. Yeah, if you go down Character Drive, out between the post office and... So we resurfaced it, and then we kind of redid that little island, cleaned it up, put some new rock in it. Just trying to do some little aesthetic things to...
I guess Scottsdale didn't care that they did a half-assed job on the paving going past boulders on Scottsdale Road. I mean, they put the lines in and everything.
So. A lot of conversation, no action will be taken. Can we turn that over to Steve?
Yep.
You got the floor, buddy.
Can we be informal?
Yeah.
Since it's a workshop?
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Workshop.
All right. And, okay, it is, again, this is a continuation of a workshop we were to have had about a month ago. Due to technical difficulties, obviously, it just wasn't going to work with half of people on Zoom, so appreciate everybody showing up.
And the speaker.
Appreciate everybody showing up to have the conversation. And again, you know, this is something that's extremely important as we move forward. You know, really kind of looking at the agenda today, the idea is that we've already started going through this draft document, and we have the Village Center Master Plan. We've already discussed the idea that the Village Center Master Plan is going through an edit process to become a redevelopment plan for the town. Instead of us creating the wheel, We've already gone through a robust process of creating a village center master plan. And so today what we're going to do is just kind of, you know, introduce that we're doing the draft plan. And by the way, I apologize that our consultant, Matt, from Michael Baker International, he just couldn't make it here today. It was just one of those days he had scheduled, so you do get me. And then we'll kind of do like a little bit of a comparison through some slides. And then really the idea, though, is that this is our opportunity to kind of go through and talk through the issues. And again, prior to this meeting, you've all provided comments, and so we took additional comments that were provided by the commissioners themselves, and we further went and changed the document and added those comments in. So you should have received a clean document and then a revision from the 2015 master plan till today for comment. So it's not the same. We didn't do that other intermediate document is now, that's gone. And so we're just working from this specific document here. Again, for folks that are here, we're talking about the redevelopment area. And the redevelopment area was actually approved, the district area boundaries and the necessity of finding was approved back in August of 2021. And basically what a redevelopment area does is it allows us to have a lot of tools that we just don't normally have that will allow us to impact the ability for redevelopment revitalization. And in particular, it allows for a lot more public and private partnership and engagement. But with that comes, per the state law, things that are required to be as part of that redevelopment plan. And so for us, you can see on this is that with Arizona revised statutes, you can see what the redevelopment plan requirements are on the right, and then in the Village Center Master Plan, how Matt has gone through and added those elements in the locations as to where he's added those elements into the plan. And so there's not a lot, I mean, a lot of it's administrative, but some of the biggest things that we need to discuss are going to be things that I think as it relates to zoning, streets, the layouts, and then the other part of it is how we're going to be evaluating projects, and then looking at and re-envisioning kind of what we see for what is redevelopment, revitalization, and infill development. So we have the opportunity to update the document to include these, but additionally, we've also had the opportunity to say, okay, there's things that need to change in the document because we've either been completed or things have changed since 2015. And then we also have the opportunity to say, okay, well, if there's other things that need to be changed or added based on what's happened over the last 7 years, maybe we could take that opportunity to address that as part of this planning process. Additionally, we've gone ahead and we've talked to all the neighborhoods in the area individually and received input from there. And then we did have a general session of input with just the public. So that information has also been inputted into this document here, but we're still going to talk through all that stuff. And so, you know, and for the public, what we're doing here is we're going to be vetting really in public a document change that is from an existing 2015 document for the Village Center Master Plan and updating that plan so it become a true redevelopment plan. So that's what this meeting is about, is to kind of talk through those particular issues and those edits that have been done. And then the idea, the other thing that we'll need to address is then to move forward from this point, you know, how we want to further engage the public, property owners and businesses, specifically property owners, because when we start talking about redevelopment plans and redevelopment initiatives, it really falls a lot on property owners. And so if there's things that require some kind of investment on their behalf for improvements for infrastructure improvements, or if it's an infill project, the types of infrastructure they'll have to build with the project, they're the ones that typically pick up that bill. So it's going to be very important that we work individually with each of the property owners as well.
Can I ask a real question? Robert, on number 5 under the redevelopment plan requirements, proposed changes to zoning, street layout, or building code, do we have to be specific about the changes to zoning?
Not now.
Now, you don't have to be specific to the changes, but you can outline that there's certain changes that you'd like to look at, or we'd look at the code, or we can set up a process that will allow us to address specific things. But I do believe that, you know, and you know, I've talked about this, and as well, that we can set clear definitions of maybe outcomes we'd like to see or specific things within the zoning code that we'd like to be, that should be addressed. And the way that Matsoff put it in the document is to examine and look at creating a specific zoning overlay specific to Town Center, because Town Center really has a unique character different than the rest of the community. I mean, we have a community that's Sonoran, you know, living lifestyle, large plot, you know, semi-rural, versus a Town Center that has, it's just not, it just never has been designed that way, and it's just a completely different animal. So it's being, that's what is being proposed through the document, is that we go forward and move on something like that. But this doesn't mean we can't talk about what our expectations are for the outcomes. You know, for instance, I'll give you an, for instance, you know, we have like a Los Portales and or any of the buildings on Easy Street, and I was going to get to this point, but we can start talking about the zoning issues now. For instance, we want to go to that mixed route development. Our current zoning code requires on-site parking, but yet we have several buildings that are on Easy Street as part of this mixed-use development that were built before on-site requirements were even required, and so they already have a shared parking strategy, so or a shared parking model. So are there opportunities for us to say, okay, well, how do we utilize the shared parking model that will allow for the mixed-use residential component to be built as part of these? You know, so if somebody, for instance, on top of venues, she wanted to put an apartment there, or Ortega's, or which was the original intent for the town when it was created. And when you look through all the planning documents, that's always been encouraged. It's just that there's things in the zoning code that could be prohibitive for that to happen. So those are the kinds of things specifically I'd like to address as we look at zoning. You know, it's for the mixed use, and then if we do an adaptive reuse for like Los Portales, it'd be kind of the same issue. If you displace 10,000 square feet or 8,000 square feet of retail, then you're picking up that parking. Can you use that parking calculation to say, okay, well, now we can pick up 8 units for residential if that's the route that we go?
But to clarify, we don't have to specify those changes in the redevelopment plan.
No.
We just allude to the fact that somewhere down the road we may change
yes.
zoning?
Yes. What we're going to do is we're going to set an expectation that we're going to address the zoning issues related to Town Center.
Okay.
Yeah. And of course, obviously, as we went through the, you know, the public engagement piece, density, height, those kinds of things have always have popped up and become an issue.
Okay.
And at this point, we're really just start going through the document and, I don't know if it's something you guys who want to kind of start and move through, if you've got specific issues you'd like to address that are through in the document, or if you just kind of want to start going through it chapter by chapter.
Let's just go through chapter by chapter. Please.
On page one, will you correct the spelling of, not page one, the cover, redevelopment?
Yeah. You don't like redevelopment plan?
Well, I thought it was a little hard to pronounce.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to bring up a couple of those.
That's fine.
Just so that it looks better.
Yep. Yeah, and again, I mean, this is, what we're, the goal here is to get this document in a form that it's not, we're not finalizing anything right now. I mean, we still have a journey to get through to get this vetted through.
What would be your expectation of how many times we'll visit this document?
It really depends on how far we get through today.
Okay.
You know, I mean, if you're pretty comfortable with it, then it's us getting it to the community and just really starting to talk about it a little bit more in depth.
Okay. Can I go to the table of contents?
Sure.
In the document, you refer to it as chapters, but you don't put any chapters in the table of contents or in the chapter heading. So I just wonder if, like, chapter one, introduction.
Okay.
Just making it easier to navigate?
Well, it's just being consistent. Just being,
well, it's all titled wells, but so.
Yeah. And a lot of these types of issues will get worked out. I mean, but, you know, so for me, on page one of the introduction, you can, and Matt did the thing that where he went and highlighted in the yellow. The last time we talked about it as being the key things that he thought were things that needed to be discussed or further vetted by the commission. Mm-hmm. And just make sure that we get clarity on some of this stuff and that we're okay with like the plan purpose. And the current one, plan purpose is the primary purpose of the Carefree Village Center redevelopment plan is to function as a unifying guide to help town officials and community stakeholders enhance and restore the economic vibrancy of the Village Center in a way that supports the long-term viability and sustainability of the entire Carefree community. I don't know if anybody has any issue with that or not. Or
can you tell me what the stakeholder is? What group of people is that?
Yeah.
Actually, a wide group of people.
Yeah, I think that I think it would be business owners.
Okay.
It'd be property owners. The town itself. I mean, anybody who's truly a stakeholder and the residents.
Do what?
Residents as well.
Maybe mm-hmm. The only thing that's proven mm-hmm. tonight is the stuff that's in yellow.
Well, maybe.
Well, we're a long ways from being final.
I don't know how we get to final.
I don't know.
How do you get to a final what?
We're just chatting.
No, no worries. It's kind of awkward doing it. Yeah.
Sidebar.
Yeah. My next issue is not till page.
How about on page 2, the first heading?
Okay.
Historical. Not histronical.
Hysterical.
I think we should run spell check against this.
Yeah. This is where I'm going to put this on Matt. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I did it, it would be worse, so.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Matt knows what he's doing. Also, the last close of that sentence says that we're, and this is difficult because some of it was the original text of the master plan. Some of it's trying to address that, how we moved it to the redevelopment plan.
Right.
But the last clause of that introductory sentence said that we're talking about the previous public outreach, but then planning and zoning and the community open houses all blend into this process. So you might want to just clarify that a little bit.
Okay. My next edit was our discussion was on page 10. And this kind of comes down to the idea, and we'll get to this a little bit further when we get to the vision planning. That, you know, the idea of mixed use has always been a component of the plan. The idea that residential is going to be continued to be a component of the plan and that we're still working on towards the neighborhood viability of the area.
So can I go back to page 6? When you're talking about the land use general plan, that first paragraph, you said that we're targeting 200 residents. That's on the bottom of page 6, first column. You said that we're targeting 200 residents. And it's my understanding that we're putting in 30 units across the street.
26.
60. So mm-hmm. we're
30, yes.
What?
30 units.
Mm-hmm. 30 units, so that gets us 60 using the metric that we're using, which is 2 per household.
Right.
So that means we're shooting for 140 more population or 70 more units plus or minus for the downtown area.
For the general plan.
Yeah.
So one of the factors that we're going to have to deal with is when we start looking at the overall water issue, that's something that we're going to have to add into this particular document. And then as we look at the update to the general plan, because water availability as we near build out is going to be a limiting factor to how much we can develop in any one particular area. Mm-hmm. And so we still have the 45-acre site that still needs to be vetted through the public, and then what we're going to be doing with that. Right. And then, you know, and so start looking at what the allocations are for water here.
Do we know what the allocation for the water is here for residential use?
It's some of the things I know that Greg's working on right now. And so as we go through and we start evaluating processes, that's just one of the things, you know, and I don't know if it's a static target because it doesn't seem like it really is, because there's always things that are happening. But we just need to be conscious of the fact that that water is going to be a limiting factor.
I got some health problems here.
Okay. Yeah. Take care of yourself, please.
Take care of yourself.
Yeah. I am.
Oh, that means you got to run the meeting.
On that same page, on the next column, it discusses that we're going to get a total number of jobs of 4,300 to 4,900 jobs. Is that realistic? It's in the first full paragraph on the right-hand side. We have 1,300 jobs now.
Yeah, these are numbers that came from the general plan. So,
does anybody believe we're going to have 4,000 jobs in Carefree?
Probably not.
No.
So what do we do about that? We just leave it in and skip over it and ignore it, or?
You know, I mean, this is information that was gleaned from
ag
data. Yeah,
that was that plan. And you're asking us to approve a redevelopment plan, and you're putting this in. I'm just asking the question of how factual do we have to be? Or we just say, oh, it was in the old plan? I'm asking. But that, to me, sounds completely... And I've read Appendix B. There's no discussion of the workforce.
Okay.
So it seems like that would have to be edited.
All right. Yeah, look at those workforce numbers. I think it looks like those are MAG generated. So, if we have to, we'll update what the MAG generated numbers are. But they are what they are. And again, we're talking about numbers that were MAG generated back in 2012.
I understand.
Yeah, I know you do.
My question is, do we leave them in there and we just say they were old numbers, or do we fix it?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, you want to fix it, but then what do we fix it to?
Well,
I'll take a look and see what MAG has and what that would update, taking a look at this specific information.
It sounds like you need to qualify the numbers somehow as to how you came up with it.
Yeah. Well, I'll ask MAG how they came up with it.
Right. I don't know.
Yeah. But they just probably run some kind of algorithm or...
We don't know what they were smoking at the time.
Yeah. All right, but yeah, we'll take a look at that.
Can I ask on page 8, on the right-hand side in the text, we talk about the 30 units within the View Carefree, the townhome building over here?
Yes.
Can I just ask, and this paragraph talks about the desirability or the potential or the clear demand in the marketplace for residential downtown. Since they've opened for sale, how many of the 30 units have they sold? Do you know?
I think the last time I talked to Jim, he sold 19 out of the first 20 that he released. He was getting ready to release the rest. So.
Okay. That would be an interesting stat to throw in to support the notion that there is potential demand for residential down here.
Okay.
One more thing on that same page. On all your maps, you have existing features, this little key code to the numbering system there.
Mm-hmm.
That needs to be updated. If you look at the post office building, number 4, that says...
Council Chambers.
Yeah, Council Chambers. That's just an example. 14 and 15 have been updated with the hotel and the townhouses.
Okay.
And I don't know what other things have changed. I'm just suggesting that we should update it.
Okay.
We'll get to your page 10.
Oh, my page 10 was pretty minimal. It just had a yellow on it, so.
Okay.
How do we actually come up with a year-round restaurant and retail destination when people just aren't here in the summer because it's hot.
Yeah, I mean, this, you know, so it kind of comes down to the idea of, you know, the hotel will help with more people coming and staying here, whether they're visiting family or not. That'll help. One of the things that we've talked about with businesses is going to some kind of evening hour, you know, limited, like, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then if there's any ways, you know, that we can bring other amenities or other things that would be of interest for people to come down to their indoor, we can look at into those types of activities.
Yeah, I mean, if we could do evening things more, that would help. Because
yep.
Having been to Singapore, it's like 3,000 degrees and 3,000% humidity, and everything happens at night.
Yeah. So we did talk to some of the businesses here locally about trying to do something where we did like an evening hours this summer. I think some of them, half of them were in, half of them were out. You know, we had, like I said, a lot of these businesses, some of them, they don't care that they're closed in the summertime. You know, they do just fine. It's either a hobby or, you know, or they do well enough the rest of the year, and they take 2 months, 3 months off. So
right.
Just like a lot of the residents do.
Right, I mean, that's a problem.
Yeah.
One of the things that I see here is that at least if we have a business and it has hours of operation posted outside the door, that they adhere to it. You know, either, you know, do something. Otherwise, because I've gone to several of these little stores here, and basically they're closed. You know, they don't abide by the hours that they have suggested that they'd be open. And I think that it would be, for consistency's sake, you know, if you're leaving your house to come to Carefree to buy something or to look at something, it'd be nice to have the store open during those hours that they say they're going to be.
Yeah.
Right, but that's pretty hard to enforce.
Then
we'll have them change the hours.
Yeah, I think they need just to do it realistically, whatever mm-hmm. it is.
One of the things we're working on is just having a lot better communication with the businesses all together. And so I know Erica's been working extremely hard at building that communication level, so it's a back and forth communication with business, so we can have those kinds of conversations. There's nothing we can do to enforce their hours, or right. But we can encourage them to make sure that, hey, we're hearing from people that are in the public that there's confusion on when you're open and when you're not open.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
if you want to close in the evening, then post that you close at 5 o'clock, yeah. And that's it. You know, and if you want to lose whatever little business you can get at night, that's fine.
Yeah.
On figure six.
Figure six. Which page?
10.
Page, what's it?
Six.
Yes.
10, figure six.
Mm-hmm.
You don't mean to, or do you? I don't know. The gray represents properties owned by an individual entity. One person owns all of the gray? Or one entity owns those are...
Yeah, and those are not all of them, but each of those... Yeah, those properties are not all of them are not owned by one person, but there's properties within there that are owned by one. So like Spirit in the Desert and that area there is all owned by a single entity.
Yes.
But which it isn't true anymore because the little piece.
Right, 15, you mean.
That little, there's a little piece where the little offices over here, that just sold. And so now you have, I think, Revital AZs over there.
Okay, well... You might just ask our consultant how you can clarify that so that it doesn't leave the reader with the impression that Dan Barron here in Carefree and the entire town and we just have to
right.
go with Genoflex.
And then they look and they're like, man, Steve Prokopek owns everything.
What are we moving on to?
Is there anything else, anybody?
We're up to page 10, right?
You know, as far, well, we already talked, I mean, page 10, so we kind of briefly talked about that, and it's going to come down. We're going to get to the vision plan, and the vision plan is going to be looking at the map and kind of going through properties by property a little bit and kind of having that conversation. And at the end of the day, what we're going to do is we're going to have to drive towards some level of, you know, what are we going to see into the future and how much additional commercial can we support? How much additional commercial are we going to expect, anticipate? How much additional residential are we going to anticipate? And so those are things that we can talk through today. And so I know Matt briefly touched about it on page 10 there, but I think we'll talk about it a little bit more in depth when we get to that vision plan, which is kind of the meat and potatoes of the conversation. I just wanted to kind of go to page 14. And as we talk with parking, you know, obviously we're in the middle of going through the Kinley Horn study, which is going to address the parking. And so, again, like when we talk about this plan, it's kind of a unique situation because we're in a dynamic moment of implementing this plan while we're updating this plan. And so there are things that are happening that we're doing, and that includes the signage, parking, and circulation piece. And so I just wanted to, you know, let you know that that's still going to be moving through. And then what we'll end up doing is that as a deliverable of this plan, those things will be added. And so what we look at here in this plan, and in most cases, this is the 80,000 foot level. And a lot of these deliverables that are going to be in here are going to be taking us down to, you know, a lot closer view of how things are actually going to happen. And then really the idea of the plan also, at the end of the day, is it's going to set up and give us a process for reviewing how we do things. And so that we can make sure that any other projects that get done, make sure that we walk through the steps that are required to be able to evaluate those in the sense of a redevelopment plan. And so not just like design review or whether it's going to be, you know, zoning and those types of things, but if we're allowing the use of public funding as part of those, or we're using programs or for those types of projects, then we'll have further review on how those projects are going to be evaluated financially. And so we'll get to that a little bit later. And then on the market analysis, which is page 15, so it's been an interesting road to try to do the market analysis update. And the original raw data and information that was utilized to do the analysis in 2015, we don't have that. It was never really provided. And so it came from a previous council member. And to be able, we try to replicate how that council member came up with how that information was put together. Not that they did it right or wrong. It's just that, what we asked the consultant to do was say, okay, look at the market information and how the market information is changing. And then what we're going to do is she's doing that and basically making the statement that really not a ton has really changed between 2015 and 2022 as it relates to our town center and how it's going to really impact that. But when we kind of walk through what we're talking about, the additional residential units, the additional commercial or the changes in commercial, how that's going to be supported by the growing market, and is it supportable? And so that's kind of how we're going to be approaching that. So the original market study is going to be part of the appendix to this document so everybody can see how that's done. And then we'll kind of use this section here to be able to kind of outline, you know, really basically to make the statement that not much has changed. But we're going to make sure that anything we do is going to have a process to fit in to making sure that it is sustainable.
Wait a minute. Tell me that again differently.
I know.
If I just look at page 16, in at one point, by 2030, the 2015 report said we needed 41,000 square feet of retail. And now with the updated figures, it tells us, and we'll get back to the question, but now it tells us we only need 503 square feet of retail. That's a huge change. And I don't know. So tell me again what you were going to say, that it's updated but it didn't change?
It's
updated but it did change.
Let me talk to the ESI folks about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
On that same table on page 16, I'm looking at how did staff come up with a methodology to determine that 70,000 square feet of retail is already in the pipeline.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, what was that? I was...
Okay. On page 16,
mm-hmm.
and in the report, it says that staff has reported that 70,000 square feet of retail is in the pipeline.
Yeah, so the 70,000 in the pipeline is... we had... At the time that they were doing, they got the initial information is that we were working with a company that was looking on the northeast corner. So they're looking at a complete market analysis for the area here. And so we have the northeast corner of Cave Creek and Carefree Highway. And so at the time, 70,000 square feet of retail was being planned for that particular corner.
Okay.
Yeah, so what you're looking at here.
So that is.
Yeah, that changed.
Yeah.
Essentially a
that's not going to happen.
Well, let me back up then. So is table one on page 16 the entire Carefree area or the town center?
So the market study, and this is where it's gotten confusing, and this is why, I know. It's
sort this out.
Yeah, so
the northeast corner.
So they're looking at how there was a defined market, and that defined market was going to impact. Ultimately, we're looking at how town center and how much commercial can be supported or not supported in the town center. But that was also done in the context of other commercial that was being built in town. And so what we've been trying to do is maintain some consistency from the original analysis to what we're trying to do now.
But we can't duplicate the original analysis because it was done in the black box.
And it's being that.
So I'd rather do it on a methodology that we can defend.
Yeah.
Than to try to stay. So I guess if I go back to table one. First question is this total Carefree retail space or is this town center retail space? Because what you're telling me is that the 70,000 square feet is the northeast corner of Carefree and Cape Creek.
Yeah, and I need to talk to the consultant a little bit more. We just got this, so I apologize. Yeah.
And that's why we're having a
discussion. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. So let me clarify that with her, because also when you look in here, you were comparing the 21,000 to the 500. That's actually between 2020 and 2030, but then she went ahead and she looked at the 2015 to 2022. She did that up and down or vertically.
Well, those are the two different reports, the numbers that they were citing.
Right. Yeah, so you're saying the difference between that 41,000 to here, but that's because I think it's taking into account things that have already...
Well,
yeah.
I mean, question A is... Again, is this town center or Carefree?
I know. Okay.
And
yeah.
Let's say that just for the sake of discussion, if it's Carefree and the 70,000 square feet is the northeast corner.
Yeah.
Then the question: then do we need? Then our definition of forecasted square feet demand that should be pared down. For just the town center and not for Carefree.
Right.
We just.
Yeah, so the way it was supposed to.
We need to put a circle around what we're trying to say here.
Yeah, so a lot of things have happened. And I think what's happened is that she tried to put in, I think, a lot of things that have transpired in the last 7 years that would have impacted these things, whether they've happened here. So, you know, we start looking at square footage of hotel space that, you know, a hotel was built. And one of the things I said was, well, I don't know, do we count hotel rooms as commercial square footage, or we count hotel as something other than commercial retail square footage. So those are the things I need to vet with her.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, and the metrics that were kind of interesting, I would seem to me that one of the metrics, because it's on your little redevelopment table further back, is are we shooting for, because we got a lot of office space that's commercial.
Right.
Excuse me.
Huh?
I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm sure you're asking a lot of really good questions.
Yeah.
I'm a little hard of hearing.
Okay.
Your microphone is pointing that way, and I really like, I don't hear you.
Okay. Sorry about that.
I appreciate if you guys can talk into your microphones. And
sure.
Steve, we have monitors up there so that we can see the presentation as well. Otherwise, our attendance here is kind of pointless.
Yeah, do you have the document on?
Is that what you're asking me, that you want to see the document?
Yeah, he wants to see
where. Yeah.
Are they looking at monitors?
Yeah, so they're so.
Our monitors show the same thing that is up there, but we've got our packets.
I see.
Yeah, so it's in the council packet. So what we're doing is we're going through the actual document that's been edited.
I didn't print my 157-page document because I expected it to be on the display.
Yeah.
Next time I'll be better prepared. I'm sorry.
Can we pull up the document and toggle?
Is there anybody else that would like a copy of the document right now? We only have two.
But can we pull up the document onto the...
I can try to pull it. It's on your system, so...
And then we can toggle back between... Is that better? Excuse me, in the back. Is that better?
John.
Hello? Yes.
That's better.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll endeavor to stay close.
You're asking if I have just the document on my computer? Yeah. Oh, we can pull it up probably from the webpage.
Yeah.
All right.
Because I wanted to get the vision planning thing up on the monitor anyhow.
Okay. Can I sit down?
It's not the internet, so I'll go to Matt's email. Just pull it up again.
The document from Matt's email?
Yeah. Were you pulled up? He had the document on that too.
Oh, was it? Okay. Oh,
yeah, he had the clean version.
So, the 70,000, we're not going to do anything. We put that on the town, and that's not going to take 70,000 square feet.
Right.
So, it's not going to put retail in there.
I thought it was just a presentation.
Oh, is it?
Here's the
TPT.
This right here?
Yeah.
How many thousand square feet are we anticipating on the northeast corner?
Which one of these did you want?
It's not 70,000.
Clean.
So.
Just one.
Yeah, just clean.
Which one do you want?
Just the clean version.
The very first one. The draft, the clean draft.
Yeah,
the clean one.
It depends on how, if you look at how much of the square of the acres, so they'd have to look at. So there was an original application that had been made for just the corner. I think how many acres was it? The 8 acres in the corner, Stacy, for Eisenberg?
10. Like the
yeah, but I'm saying for the whole thing.
So how much?
I think the whole
thing. Ralph was asking me how we were coming up with 70,000.
Yeah.
It was about 26 acres total, I believe.
Right, but how many thousand square feet of retail are we expecting to put on there?
I mean, unless you close a hotel retail.
No, we're talking about the
northeast. Northwest.
Yeah, I'd have to pull that plan. I don't remember off the top of my head. I mean, if you're talking about the entire site versus, as Steve mentioned,
we're talking about the entire site. Rob is just asking me how we came up with the 70,000 square feet number. Mm.
Well, I think that we're trying to. He's going to.
70,000 was what was proposed at the time. So what she was trying to do was get an idea of what's transpiring in the market. So she said, "Hey, what's changed since then and now, or what's being planned to be changed?" And so when she asked that question 8 months ago, we were.
We're talking about Rebecca. You're saying she.
She no. So she is.
Who are you talking about when you're saying
CSI
she?
CSI and. Judge Judy Sleeps.
So
she did the original 2015 report.
Okay.
So we asked her to come back in and kind of update that. So she's part of Matt's team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can see redevelopment spelled really well there.
Yeah, I know.
We're on page 16.
Yeah.
Back up. There you go.
I can go up a little more. There you go.
I don't know. It's hard to get the whole thing on there.
Reduce your size. Make it 95%.
Yeah, let me do that.
There you go.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah.
And as long as we're on this page.
You guys see it?
Is that easier to see?
Yeah, it's tough.
One of the things that I don't understand, again, is that this, under the 2020 column, the forecasted square feet demand is 283,275 in the 2022 report. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And existing retail is 261. But we have vacant retail space. Mm-hmm. Just help me with that. If really our demand was 283, we would actually right now we'd be 20,000 square feet.
Yeah,
short.
This is why we need to get a little bit more in depth. These are good questions, and these are the questions we need to ask Judy and understand how she came up with these numbers.
Right.
So those are good questions. You looked at it about as...
What?
I had about the same amount of time to look at it as you did, so I appreciate you taking a little bit more time to run through the numbers.
A lot of these numbers, in my opinion, are definitely optimistic numbers to the point of not going to see reality. First of all, we got a water crisis going on, too, so I don't think we're going to see all of these high numbers. I just can't see how we can. I mean, so a lot of stuff's going to have to be toned down to reality. And what that reality is going to be, that's why Greg, with his water situation, has to come up and give us some strong answers. And even he's going to have problems because the state doesn't even have the handle on what's going on with the water. So for us as a town to say we're going to do this, it's a little ludicrous when we know we don't have the water to this level to do all this.
Yeah.
I mean, this is very optimistic stuff, in my opinion. It's very optimistic.
As far as the total... You know, it's interesting how... I mean, you know, when you look at how these mark numbers are driven and the whole premise of how the market study was done originally, it's very difficult to really come down to such a small area and understand how, especially in this area, how it's going to fit into the global context of things. And then there's also other things that have impacted it, like more hotel stays are going to impact that. So those are the things. And what we've asked, and I know what you're saying, and this is what I've asked the consultant was, I said, look, I understand where we are. We just got to figure out, and we got to just pick the baseline. And maybe the baseline's flawed. I don't know. But we got to start using some rational expectations and understandings of saying, what can we reasonably expect if we're going to be making changes to this area, or what can we not support as far as total square footage goes? I mean, like we all know we're not going to support another 40,000 square feet of retail here, right? I mean,
And just because I'm asking questions doesn't look.
No, I know you're not being critical. You're asking the right questions.
Right.
Yeah.
As one of my old bosses told me, a plan beats no plan 9 times out of 10.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you're asking these questions because these are the things that we need to just get those answers to.
We ready for page 17?
Sure.
I'm on the vision statement.
Vision.
The first thing that strikes, it's down in the lower right-hand corner, so you got to move it up a little bit. There you go.
Mm.
It's in the green. I just questioned the use of the word progressive in the second line. It just seems to me that might be a little politically charged.
Yeah.
And maybe we could come up with a different adjective.
Was that part of the original plan? I think it was. I have it somewhere.
But it may not be our vision statement.
Yeah.
Not the word progressive, yes.
The other question is a kind of a fundamental question. And I've never talked to an urban planner in any kind of depth, so I don't know. But there's a lot of emphasis in this in celebrating, I think is the word they use, our entrance into the village core. But there's a large number of towns in Europe, like in Italy, where part of the charm of the town is its mystery and its... You don't know what's next around the corner. You know, it's not a grid. It's all alleyways. And I'm just wondering, you know, this emphasis on gateway, entrance, celebrating entrance, raising the profile of the... I wonder if that's... because I'm not an urban planner, I'm just wondering about whether we should celebrate the mystery. Come explore the village center.
Yeah. So we've tried
anyway,
one of the issues is that because it's interior, people don't even know it's here, and they drive past, and they go to Cave Creek because their retail is all on an arterial, and it's easy to see.
Right.
I mean, this is a disadvantage that we have. It's an advantage in that it's pedestrian-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And Cave Creek is not, but a lot of people just don't even know that this stuff is in
here. Can't we take that and leverage that into come explore carefree as opposed to, you know...
Yeah, but people have to be able to find it.
Well, but you advertise it. I mean, somehow we're attracting them up here anyway. But anyway, that's one...
Yeah, so when we've done our analysis and our discussions with people who come here or mm-hmm. we talk to businesses and we get feedback from their customers, you know, the biggest... complaint is that they just can't get in. They just don't know what's here. There's no sense of arrival. And so And I understand that's probably why the arches were part of, were included in that. But the arches...
They don't go anywhere.
Well, the thing with the arches is they were supposed to be done in context with a lot of other things. They weren't supposed to be the main attraction. Mm-hmm. And so what we were trying to do, and what Kimberly Horn's trying to do, is say, okay, well, how do you put those archways back in context for what they were really meant to be? And
well, McDonald's figured it out.
Yeah. Yeah, and so that's one of the, you know, we're not going to take the arches down, but
it costs too much money.
But if you actually look at the plan, that the arches talk about being done in conjunction with upgraded pedestrian amenities, they were really supposed to be more of a pedestrian entrance,
mm-hmm.
versus a vehicular entrance that really people could come in and feel like they've welcomed, and that's where they walk in, you know, like the Disneyland model where you walk in and you know that you're there.
Big smile on your face.
Yeah, big smile on your face. So,
happiest place to hide.
Yeah. So the trick is how do you create an environment through signage? And so as we go through the signage plan, how do you create a signage that looks elegant, that looks nice, that gets the job done and is not overdone? That
it says something.
Yeah, so those are the things as we go through the signage. We'll be bringing that back to you guys as well.
Now, signage is a major issue.
Yep. So, and that's going to talk about the look and feel of the signs, the content on the signs, and it's going to have the and the location of the signs, and then how many we have and where they're going to be and everything else. So.
Hummingbirds.
Yeah, you can talk about hummingbirds.
On page 18, the last paragraph on the page.
So we get back up to this progressive thing. Is there another adjective that anybody would like
to
use?
I'll leave it to an author. I just think that might not be the best word to use in this community.
Yeah.
I understand that you were not talking in a political context.
Maybe forward-looking?
I just, you know, I mean, it's a minor... we have words... The words
I mean, maybe something like forward-looking.
Forward-looking.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
I don't know. We'll just raise the issue with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, not the word progressive.
And maybe it's one of those things that as we go back out and we start engaging folks, we can ask them what they think.
Well, we can ask them. Everybody thumbs up for progressive or thumbs down on progressive?
Thumbs down.
See? I got a vote.
There you go. I'm with you.
I'm just saying.
Yep.
This is not a politically correct town.
Yeah, the demographics are over 65 Republicans. Over 65 years old Republicans, yeah.
All right.
Last paragraph on page 18.
Page 18.
Which is the next page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adequate public utilities exist to accommodate future growth. Based on our discussion that we just had 3 minutes ago about water, is that a correct statement?
If you want to include water as...
Well, it's a public utility.
Yeah, then it's not in that...
So according to Greg, we have adequate for the plan itself.
Which plan?
The current plan as it stands.
Which current plan?
The 2015 plan, and then is the general plan.
I'm giving you a hard time.
I know you are.
We have the aquifer to draw on, which we're not totally dependent on the app, which is huge.
No, we're not.
I mean, we've got working wells down into the aquifer if we need to tap that.
Okay.
But what I'm trying to get at is the idea that we're going to grow to double in size here isn't going to happen.
No,
there's just no way.
We're adding 140 people to this.
Yeah.
Downtown.
Right, and we may even be ratcheting that down from the original general plan expectation of 200.
Right.
So there may be an opportunity to temper it just a little bit.
I just put a star by it.
Yeah, I know.
But actually, the other thing that caused me all kinds of consternation as I was reading this is the last paragraph, the title on the last paragraph on the left-hand side. All of a sudden, we're calling it a master plan. Is the master plan different than the village plan? That's different than the redevelopment plan? That's different from the village center plan? I don't know what plan we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. That's fair enough.
I just would like to be very careful about
terminology.
Yes.
Yeah, so
I'm not even going to bring up applicable applications.
Yeah. Again, that's from the original document, so we'll blame all those people back then for for confusing us.
Yeah, but I just don't want to be...
Yeah.
Oh, and on that adequate public utilities question again, well, maybe it's infrastructure. The sidewalk question came up,
mm-hmm.
But that's not a utility, that's an infrastructure.
That's an infrastructure, yeah. So, and the one thing about talking about a master plan, and when we start talking...
What are we talking... When you say master plan, is that different than what this is?
Yeah, so master plan, and I'm going to look at it here a little bit closer, but master plan in concept is different than a specific plan. And so the idea
but
that...
this isn't a specific...
It's not. So this overall document is what we would call a master plan type document. And so with redevelopment plans, you can have... When you're talking about an area, you'll do it in the context of a master plan. When you start talking about individual projects,
you'll
start talking about specific plans. Or if we're talking about specific deliverables, like the signage, like they're all going to have specific plans to them, and then they should outline exactly how that's going to be laid out, how we're going to pay for it, all those. I'm kind of saying this because we've got people in the room too. So.
Right. No, that's fine. But so when I read that paragraph, am I... The master plan, should that really read the redevelopment plan provides?
Yeah, we can change it to the redevelopment plan. Yeah, I agree.
Steve, can I have just a couple of comments? I would say that, the redevelopment plan is sort of that overriding, almost like our general plan, but it's specific to town center.
Right.
It's talking about uses we'd like to see and goals and how to implement sort of the vision, and it gives a toolbox to town about how to move forward with some of those goals and ideals that were defined. The master plan, in my opinion, gets more into the physicality of looking at, well, if the marketing analysis says 50,000 square feet, if you look at the master plan, that starts to show you how that might look more in a physical form. So they're kind of building on each other in the redevelopment plan itself. So
what they call it, a vision plan, a little bit further. So we'll clarify all that terminology.
Too many terms.
And let's walk through that and make sure it's just consistent.
Too many terminologies.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it helps, but then if you go like through to the next page, it does say master plan up top. It used to say vision plan, so they must have changed it.
Right.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
We can. And this is going to be, we just lost somebody. This is kind of like the fun part.
They suffer through the bad stuff.
Yeah, we was, John.
Yeah.
The first question that I have is on that, the way that this, you've identified all these properties, and this is for the planning purposes, this is kind of where we're going.
Yeah.
Right? This is what we want to do.
Yeah, so this is the nuts and bolts of kind of what we want to, at the end of the day, what we kind of see. And remember, these are 10-year plans. So
A plan beats no plan 9 times out of 10. But we were talking before about, or in the discussion, we were talking about we need, the goal in the text was we wanted 200 residents in the town center.
Right.
And we got 30 units, so that's 60, so that leaves us 140, right?
Right.
So, but your plan here, we're already short because we only got 60 units going in, and we want 70. I'm just saying that if we set 200 as what we're looking for, then shouldn't this plan produce 200? I mean, a lot of things are going to happen between now and the time that this is done. But
yeah, and so
we got to start out with a we don't want to get the road 3/4 of the way built over the river. We want to get the road built all the way across the
river. So this is actually a really important item.
Well, this is huge.
Yeah, because when we look at the analysis on paper as far as what the existing zoning allows, the existing forms of land, you know, all the things that are available today, then you're maxed out at kind of what we're showing here. I mean, this is close. So if we're calling for 200 in the general plan, and I'm saying, hey, with
not the general plan, and are you talking about 200?
So the 200 is an outline from the actual general plan. So,
it is.
Yeah. So when you start looking at the action, and this is why, so it's important to say, okay, we've got these ideas that were set a long time ago,
Just for the audience that doesn't know, the general plan is a statutory required plan that all cities and towns have to do every 10 years that lays out the vision for the town.
Right.
In general.
And ours wasn't
what?
And ours didn't happen.
Well, 2012, I think, was the last time it was done. And it's...
It, but we're talking about something else.
Right? Yeah. But that's what the general plan is.
General plan updated.
Yeah, but that's on our long-term agenda here as well.
And I think that when, I mean, I've been on P&Z for a while, and even before I was on P&Z, I sat through two general plan updates as an audience of pretty much one. And they try to involve the public as much as possible, and with COVID, with everything locked down, that delayed everything.
Yeah. But we're not,
no, I mean, I think that COVID was... government overreach, but hey, I'm just telling you, everything was locked down.
So, I mean, that's a different conversation, and I can appreciate, you know.
Yeah, right, I agree, but so this plan leaves us 10 units, residential units, short of what we're articulating earlier in the document.
Right, but does,
right.
Are we including, residences over businesses?
This is.
Yeah, so what I'm showing here is not what we're what we ultimately think is going to happen. What's here is a snapshot of kind of like where things sit
it's
today.
The plan.
Yeah, sit today. So we got to say, okay, well, if we want to have additional residential, we're going to have to make zoning decisions that allow for that to happen.
And that raises a question. Earlier in the text, you say that in this area was all zoned commercial, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say that this does not permit residential development. And my question was, how did those 30 units get built?
You mean the condos over there?
Yeah. So, somewhere in the text, and I can find it if I need to,
yeah. It
says that the zoning is a problem because it doesn't allow for standalone residential units. There's a statement in there that says that. But then if that is true, how did those 30 units get...
Stacey would know better how that ended up.
Well, I mean, for one, those aren't standalone units. They are connected. These are condominiums.
Uh-huh.
Also, there is an allowance, and because they're partly on Easy Street, and as well as it went to previous development agreements with previous council members,
mm-hmm.
It went through the process, and because of sort of the caveat of Easy Street and the agreements, it was approved.
So was it a variance? I'm just a factual question.
It was, and this was before my time. It was.
Okay. Well, but then I would just like to revisit that. You know, I mean, I see 30 residential units going up, and then read the statement that says residents can't, or standalone residents can't be built. And I'm just trying to.
Yeah, and a lot of that goes through, and I think Stacey said there's other factors. I think there might have been a development agreement on that site. I wasn't part of that.
Okay. Yeah, that was at Melissa's property where he was going to do one great big huge building.
Well, it was a building that also had like other non-residential components to it, so it was kind of a progression of how it worked.
So it was like mixed use?
Yeah.
Yes, the bottom part was all going to be retail.
So there's a statement in there that it doesn't allow mixed use either. I mean, that's...
No, it
allows mixed use.
It does allow mixed use.
Oh, it does allow.
It just depends on where in town center it's being proposed. The zoning right now is a little restrictive and very kind of specific, and I guess the idea is if we're looking at allowing for residential in a more broader representation in town center, that zoning is the need to change.
Okay.
Yeah. And just so you know, I mean, even the numbers I have here include the idea that we would allow for the residential to go on the infill lots. Yep.
Okay. That, I would just like to see, or I think that we ought to at least discuss, to make sure that this table, as we lay it out, ties in with other goals that we've set up before, like we're saying that you only need, well, it's a question about whether we're talking town center or all of Carefree, you need either 500 square feet or you need 70,500 square feet.
Right.
but this only provides us net retail of 3,500. So I would like to see that this table somehow ties, either we change what our goals are earlier and this table reflects that, or we have to do something on this table and our thinking
right
to tie back to what we said earlier in the document.
Yeah, we need some specifics.
Well, and I get you saying, yeah, I mean, we just need to be able to, if the market is telling us one thing, mm-hmm. then the reality needs to either meet the market or exceed the market, right?
Right.
Or, so you don't want to overbuild, you don't want to underbuild, but even in an underbuild situation, we may not solve the market problems with this area. So, yeah.
It's a plan.
Yep. And that's the other side of it.
Right.
This is a high-level plan.
Right.
We're not counting numbers.
But let's just be internally consistent with
it. I agree with you.
Okay.
Originally, in the intent, isn't to have this absolute chart showing each specific project with each specific thing, is to set targets. So, for the purposes of the conversation, we can kind of look and see, and we can start talking about the things that we see on specific properties and how those things impact that.
Right.
Yeah.
But it seems like it ought to be consistent when we go back out to the public to talk about what's going on, which raises the question, have all these property owners seen this vision thing? And are they bought into it, or do they object to it, or...
When you say property owners, you mean the...
Well, whoever owns all these properties,
yeah,
that we're
yes.
going to do all of this stuff to.
So we've been sending the communications to go out to the property owners, yes.
All right, Steve.
Yeah?
When we say we need extra residential, and then we talked about the idea about putting up on top of the commercial buildings, has anybody actually spoke with the owners of those buildings that they said, oh, yeah, that's a great idea, I want to put apartments above my stores? Has anybody said that to you?
Yeah, there's interest in doing that.
There is interest in doing that. Okay. Now, which interest, if you can give us any kind of specific, like, whose interest came up? Because I'm looking at these strip malls that we have in town here and these things, and I can't see how you can make something look nice and put apartments up on top of some
of these
buildings.
So, for instance, the Warren Building and where the Chamber Building are, mm-hmm. both those buildings were built with the intention of adding a second floor to it. Whether it can go to a third floor, I don't know, mm-hmm. but they said second floor, so I think there'd be some interest from those. You know, I think the other site that we look at is the idea of Los Portales, and if there's an adaptive reuse component that allows for residential,
mm-hmm.
That would, you know, and that's a more unique site because we could actually put on-site parking into that, onto that lower level.
Yeah, you're going
to
need
So those are the things that we're trying to figure out right now. The idea and the intention is to give us some flexibility, but as we start evaluating and as things are moving through process, you know, the idea is that this commission is going to be able to understand what's going on and still continue to be able to impact the decisions that get made for these things with the understanding of what's the targets are set in these plans. And again, like you said, it's a plan, these are targets, and there's an intention to what we're doing. And what you don't want to do is to say, okay, well, we're going to do 200, and then all of a sudden you get a project for 500, and you're like, okay, that doesn't make sense.
Or do you have enough parking for the 200?
Right.
This realistic parking, and not infringing on the commercial need for the parking.
And that's why we're doing parking as part of the entire parking plan.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, there's other things that go into the parking plan, too, and there's other types of retail, of commercial, so... A restaurant's going to require more parking than your standard retail. And so as we look at the overall parking, this Bacon Bank building is a great example, right? It's questionable whether or not there's probably enough parking
mm-hmm.
to turn that into a restaurant today.
Yeah.
And so how do we look at the parking plan and say, okay, if that's a goal and we outline it in a plan like this that we would like to see a future restaurant there, but we're going to have to ensure that we have the adequate parking to be able to address that. Because our code requires that you have to have, even if it's off-site parking, you have to have the correct amount of parking spaces attributable.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like the hotel is a good example of that. They have a mix of on-site, off-site, and off-site that they added to the mix. So when you look at the original allocation they had at the days of creation of Carefree, they had a certain allocation to what was track day parking. That was the assumption. And so it was built into the shared model, which was somewhere like right around 26 spaces, which is what they ended up having over here on Easy Street. And then they had to add in, I think there's 70-something spaces on site, and they had to add the 14 spaces over here. So parking is something that we're going to be definitely need to be looking at.
And are you talking about when it was incorporated or when it was actually founded?
When it was founded. So when the town.
Yeah, I mean, when it was founded, it was just second homes for people. It wasn't ever to be what it is now.
But so when the town was founded, they did parking was kind of like a real afterthought. And,
right.
And the problem they did with when they founded the town was they attributed the idea that you're going to be parking on this track day parking, which was a dirt lot.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't designate it as public parking. The original owners actually retained ownership of that lot. And then when somebody like a Los Portales comes along and said, hey, we want to build to zero lot line standard, well, they can say, well, that's nice. Where are you going to park your cars? Mm-hmm. And and that's why you have a contract out here for this lot. So there's a multi-user contract for that lot.
Yeah, could you share that? I read somewhere that there's a long-term, I guess in the comments that you got and you're walking around, there's a long-term agreement. How long?
So this is about a near perpetual agreement.
There's
no such thing as a perpetual agreement.
Right.
This is
when the third heir of Fife Symington dies.
Ronald Reagan. Second heir of Ronald Reagan. Yep.
Okay.
So, or Bruce Babbitt. It was one of the two. Whichever's longer. And then 21 years plus that. Yeah. So it's a near perpetual agreement that exists out there, and it identifies the amount of shared parking that is attributable to each of the buildings inside of here. I think we have like six spaces.
Who owns it?
Victor, who owns it, guy who owns the 11 Sundial Circle here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it comes with the bank?
So the bank is part of his, I think he's got like 86 allotted spaces under that.
So is that an impediment to redeveloping? I'm just asking.
Yeah. I don't know if it's an impediment. You know, I mean, when you redevelop, it's always one of those things where you just.
And who's the contract with?
So the contract is with
the
owners of all the office buildings surrounding that parking lot.
Oh.
So everybody is signed on to that, and they get shared use of this parking. So we get six spaces. Our allotment was actually put in with the Grand Building because apparently they were built at the same time. But so those kind of went in. Matter of fact, I just talked to Jerry Graham about 3 weeks ago about the parking situation out here, and he actually has on-site parking as well. So. And as we look at the future of parking, you know, one of the things that we're talking about is if we're ever going to go to some level of structured parking, does this site make the most sense, being that it's actually pretty proximate to the town center? And if we're talking about adding in better pedestrian walkways and better connectivity, maybe that makes sense. I'm not making that decision today, and I'm not asking you guys. I'm just saying, as we evaluate parking, those are the kinds of things that we're going to have to start thinking about.
Is parking part of the – whoops, lost our screen.
Yeah.
Is parking part of the signage and street thing that we're talking about, or is that a whole separate study altogether?
That's a separate – that's the Kimley Horn study. So parking, we're looking at – so the signage, circulation, and parking are all
– in one plan.
Yeah, and we're going to kind of separate the conversation. So the signage may get done, will probably get done separately, but the circulation and parking will be done together.
Okay.
Yeah, because signage can do at a different pace.
Where is that in the queue?
So we have our joint meeting on.
We're talking about the signage plan.
Yeah.
We have a stakeholder meeting coming up the week of August 22nd. We're going to be doing a joint meeting with planning, and so, you know, we take the stakeholder meeting and it comes to both planning and zoning, and then the joint meeting together will be town council on September 9th. I think that was an email that was sent to all of you.
Mm-hmm. I better check that.
And then the circulation?
I mean, you know, the circulation, you know, it's kind of lagging a little bit behind the signage plan in the sense that because there's a lot of issues that were brought up by the public that we're still trying to vet through the stakeholder group and then to be brought again to you and to town council because it doesn't have as much of an impact on the signage and circulation plan. You know, signage will be where it needs to be based on, you know, what the layout is of the community. That's probably going to be we'll look at that as we kind of get more towards the end of the year.
Okay. Is September 9th, that's a Friday?
It is.
Would it be a date?
September 6th, is that the next council meeting in September? Is it the 6th? Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. So we ought to put that, we ought not stand up the city council.
No.
No, I think they would be offended if you didn't show up.
They would or they wouldn't? Oh.
Yeah, nice. I believe that was in a recent email, but yeah.
Yeah, I've got that down on my calendar.
I missed that one.
But
this is a great framework. This gives me a whole lot better idea of what the vision thing is.
Right.
And where we're going. And then you just have to kind of fill in who's going to be the tenants of all these places. And
yeah, so what we're trying to do, and the intention of especially a higher level map, higher level redevelopment plan, is to allow yourself some flexibility, but identify the you know, kind of what it is you're trying to get towards. Mm-hmm. I still think the bigger issues that we need to address, and this really comes from a public process, is the idea of density. I think density is going to be one of the things that we really need.
Density of commercial density?
Just the density of development. You know, the hotel is obviously a high density.
And intensity.
Yeah, is a higher density use. You know, and so we start looking at, in the comments that we receive back, and I'm sure from members of this audience, that, you know, we need to be more conscious about how we deal with density in the future, and it needs to be a conversation. So when we start looking at the zoning changes, and the other thing that we've included in here are the DR changes, or looking at DR, is looking at how we address that moving forward.
Yeah, that should be, I mean, that should be interesting.
It's going to be a very interesting conversation, but it's something that the community, I think, is saying, hey, let's take a breath and let's talk about this. So
just looking at a plan again, and I understand it's a plan, but you're looking at 9,000 square feet of restaurant space, and it's in two parcels. Is that in, I have no idea of how big a restaurant is. Is that two restaurants or two restaurant complexes, kind of, or do you, we?
It's
know?
Just,
two, it's
I'm throwing some numbers feet. Down based on FARs and square footages. Yeah.
Okay, and then, so.
Yeah, restaurants are very yeah. Bases. Yeah.
Right.
Very
you know, and it really, and it depends on, you know, if we go through a zoning process, you know, how many floors we're looking at, stories of allowable development. So I try to get close.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then just the vision kind of a thing. K is the town hall that we're
yep.
going to redevelop. Just offhand, where are you thinking about putting the town hall?
Yeah, so that's a good question. That's one of the things that we're going to have to deal with is if we obviously relocate town hall from there.
So we don't have it relocated here? I mean, on...
We haven't, no. So what? And we're going to have to determine where that process is, and if it's something we should put in the plan that we know that we're going to have to relocate it, that we'll go through a process to do that. I mean, it's a foregone conclusion for me, but we can codify that into the plan as well. That's going to be something. So the, you know, the obvious is
we ought not to leave town government homeless.
I don't know. I think a lot of people might want to do that these days. So
let's get some tents.
So I, you know, there's the opportunities we're going to look at. Look at existing real estate. You know, we have the water company building. We have the building behind that we use for the public works. There's additional properties back into that area there. Is there an opportunity to be able to say, look, let's just create one?
And that's over in this?
Yep, just south of the Mariachi Plaza area on Ed Everett. And then, again,
the restaurant Queen, that's by Alberto's.
You know, so the other opportunity is can we just take this space right out here?
No,
we've already have 1,200 square feet, which is my chateau up here.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, and then we can expand that out, and you can do, you know, maybe 4,000 feet here, and you got a 5,200 square foot building, and we can stay in this footprint. And then we just have to figure out how to add for the additional parking for additional 4,000 square feet. And so part of the parking plan we're looking at is the idea that we can put on-street parking on Cave Creek Road, and if we can do that safely, we can pick up the number of spaces that would allow us to have the office actually sitting over in this location here. So, or if you look at the idea of a parking structure, then we can create more than enough parking to solve a lot of problems. And so,
who's going to pay for
it? Well, those are the things that we need to evaluate. I have our engineer, town engineer Mark, doing a quick analysis. And he's got an engineering firm that's going to give him some basic numbers about what it might cost to build something like that. And again, I don't want to get anybody up in arms. We're not saying we're doing that, but we're having an open conversation here,
right.
and that's what this is about.
It's
having open conversations, not about scaring people about how we're going to be able to get these things done. And you know, I don't want any.
Nothing's written in stone here tonight.
Right, that's exactly right. This is just an open conversation. Yeah. So. And the other thing that we've looked at is potential like a land swap. So we're allowed to do that as well. So the nice thing about a redevelopment area, and I'm going to explain it to you, but I'm also, we have folks here as well. In government, we can't, if we own property as a town, we can't sell that property without going to the highest bidder. So it goes up for auction. So if we were to sell the town hall today, we would have to put that for bid, and it would go to the highest bidder, and they could use it for whatever they want. We'd have no control over the destiny of that specific piece of property. If you go through a redevelopment area process, then you can go to an RFP. And under an RFP, you can say, okay, well, we're going to, as a community, take control of our destiny for what we actually want to see on that specific site.
Yeah, highest and best use.
The highest and best use. And then we can put that out to RFP for developers to develop that site with the vision that we have in mind and not their specific vision. And if we don't like what we see, we can reject it and we can go through the process again. So the idea of this, especially really in the redevelopment plan, is to give us more self-control and self-determination about what gets built in Town Center. And I think that's been an issue that people have had, that we haven't had that level of ability to control our destiny as much as we can. We should. So this plan, this part of it's actually pretty important. I mean, we want to keep it loose, but the idea of what we're trying to accomplish here, and the big one is, and everybody talks about, is the post office building, 100 Easy Street. And in the previous plan, it showed as redevelopment. And it doesn't mean we can't show that site as a redevelopment site, but there's another component to all this, and that's called reality. And look, there's a viable use. There's a long-term tenant with the post office in there. It's fairly occupied. Let's be reasonable here and say, okay, well, I think a lot of people would like to see that building look better. And so we can engage the property owners, and maybe there's a way point of saying, okay, let's get that to a better place, and then maybe that better place will take it to a redevelopment at some point or some kind of additional development. But that's going to have to be rooted in having enough parking, you know, having enough water. I mean, all those things are going to be a component to that as well. So that's why I've toned it down with that specific site at this time. And that's another thing I wanted to bring up with you guys. And, you know, where's our money best spent? Fixing it right now and giving it a new life and bring some air back into it. The other thing that we're looking at doing that, and I've talked with the property owner there, is adding in with the post office a little bit more public communication outreach. So in the post office itself, putting a better communication portal, whether it's digital or whether it's going to be just something that has newsletters and allows the public, so turn it more into a public engagement space, so they can get that information. It's just one other means of communication. So we have a good relationship with the property owner in conversation, and then we're also talking about adding those lights that go up all the way around. If you look on Easy Street, we're actually looking to put those lights now on 100 Easy Street as well, because those are all part of an easement that the town manages the easement. So we install the lights, and then they pay for the power. And so that's how that works for these particular buildings in Town Center, just to kind of give a little bit more continuity and bring that building into the fold a little bit better.
And it'd be nice to have more of a gathering spot there, a coffee shop or something that people can interact in as opposed to just passing through, because everybody winds up there at some point or another.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And so, and then we look at like a Los Portales. I think the first goal is to try to figure out some way that we can continue to utilize that in some level of commercial capacity. And actually, I'm part of an Arizona Downtown Association, and we take tours of various different communities to talk about their projects and the things that they've done. And I actually just was recently in Prescott on last Friday, and they have a thing called the Capital Market. One of the things I think could be interesting to look at as we look at like a Los Portales. But I think we're going to have to make a tough decision at some point about the type of use we want to see there. But to allow us some flexibility.
Does the owner have a vision at all?
No. Be realistic now.
You know, the owner's not the most difficult owner I've ever dealt with, but not I think he wants to do something nice with it. You know, I think the idea is just to be able to remove impediments and allow flexibility, and then allow a process that will get us to a point that gets us to maybe we have three different ideas that can work there, and we're fine with that, and we allow that to happen. You know, if we get too specific, you may be losing an opportunity.
No, I agree. But I think that this page is one of the most important pages in the whole document.
It's the money page.
Yeah, exactly. And from once we kind of get a comfort level with this, then that's going to spin off what your requirements are going to be financially and otherwise, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Parking.
Exactly.
Okay, well.
Adaptability.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and again, one of the things that's changed additionally here, I apologize, I got allergies are killing me. Next to the town hall site, there's that vacant property next to the archway.
Right.
Which number were you talking about? Number two here? No.
Yeah, number two. On there.
There's no water, I don't think.
There's some water in the refrigerator.
Here.
Hey, yeah.
I talked too much earlier today. I killed my voice. Oh, you're fine. Yes, yeah, so number two. So that we originally showed that in the master plan as parking. Yeah. But the original plan didn't talk about anything related to the Shell station. And if you look back at the alleyway behind the Shell station, I think we've actually come to an opportunity because the owner of the Shell station and the owner of those properties is now separate. And it used to be all one ownership. And so somebody came in and bought Shell station and then ended up getting the two properties that are, there's three properties total there. And so, but now that guy's sitting on a Red Robot building in the old nursery that's unoccupiable. And is there an opportunity to say, okay, instead of parking over here, maybe it makes more sense to get parking closer to the Spanish Village in the corner, because it could help support Mariachi Plaza, Keeler's, and a lot of development that's happening in that particular area there. So it's one of the things we've kind of swapped and said, let's put some parking more into that corner and then identify the Shell station as an opportunity for redevelopment, you know. And ultimately, if you've ever been to, for me, like the win would be if you've ever been to Pinnacle Peak in Pima, where they have the post office building there, that is that old general store restaurant with the gas station. That'd be a dynamite type of use. So those are the things that we're going to start looking at as viable there. And then we're going to, and in a corner like that, and when we look at the zoning standards, you know, we have a 10-foot setback requirement, but, and this is one of the things I haven't talked to Stacy about, is as we look at the 10-foot setback off major arterial, would it, on a corner like that, would we be okay with pushing something closer to the corner to put a gas, to put gas pumps behind? So those are the kinds of things that that we may want to address as we go through the zoning discussion. Is there any other discussions on these sites here? It's not like we're not going to look at revitalization for other properties. Carefree Plaza would be another one of those types of properties, which is...
Which number is that?
It's not numbered, so we'll number it on there.
Where is
it? But it's where the Caring Corps is.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, and again, it's a 10-year plan, so we'll start looking and say, you know, are there buildings that, as we move forward, where we can actually help put programs together that help aesthetic improvements? Those are, we'll start looking at those types of buildings as well. We'll make sure that that's in there.
In your mind's eye, when you put this together, there's a lot of discussion in here about lifestyle and professional offices that, you know, probably... It may not be desirable. I'm being very careful, and I'm just speculating here. It may not be desirable that they be on Easy Street, you know, or especially down around the Sunda. Any thought in here to develop more of a professional plaza?
So we do have a lot of professional office in town. If you go north of Cape Creek Road, you've got
down really close to
the office area all the way at Pima del Norte.
There's a ton of them.
And then there's office planned actually on the site on the northeast corner of Tom Darlington, or of Cape Creek Road and Carefree Highway. North of the Wash, along Cape Creek Road, there's another office. But for town center, you know, we have the office condos behind Bash's. You know, it's a tough one. I would say that on Easy Street, I would try to promote more retail type business as much as we possibly can. You know, it's commercial. Can we exclude a non-retail business?
I wouldn't think so.
I don't think so, but
zoning.
But yeah, I mean, I you know, so what you try to do is to create an environment that's just going to be more conducive for retail being on that space. So. And then, you know, our conversations with Spirit in the Desert, I think they still see their mission as being that's their location. They take care of their property. You know, I think in the long-term future, I think there's a huge opportunity with Spirit in the Desert. They do have the parcel behind them that currently is zoned for medium density residential, so that's included into this here. The other site that I want to bring up real fast with you all is there's the site on Carefree Drive, and it's got the wash running through it right across from the view. The owner of that site...
Where are you?
So that is number... It's the gray. I can't see that far. I apologize. I'm going to have to do this.
Carefree Drive.
Number five.
Number...
Yeah.
Five.
So as you look at Carefree Drive from Tom Darlington to the post office...
Right.
There's that vacant site that's there where there's coming out a guardrail in front of it. It's right across. It's just east or west of the view.
The view. Oh. Well, your number five in here is undeveloped. That's not next.
Yeah, so it's undeveloped right now. So that's an infill site.
Okay, that's next to not Chase, but the other bank there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So... That particular site there, that there's an owner, and his request was, hey, this is a really tough site to develop.
Yeah.
You know, and commercially speaking, it's neither here nor there. And so, I mean, could you put more office in? Like, I don't know. I don't think we need more office for this particular area. And his idea was to put residential on that site. So it'd be a four rent residential, about 7 units. To kind of be in line with the view, and then he would utilize the wash as kind of like a feature to the property, and instead of having to put some kind of vehicle crossing on there, it would be more of a pedestrian crossing, and then his ask would be then to, can you then access off the alleyway for the northern part of that site, have a pedestrian crossing that can get to the other side of the site, and so the site would be bifurcated still by the wash, but still have public access. So as we look through redevelopment, part of the idea that we're doing is looking at unique opportunities to allow these sites to develop that makes sense. And so, first, I think that's a reasonable request, but obviously you have to look at, can the alleyway support it? Would you go to one way on the alleyway? What improvements would you have to make and to the alleyway? So, it's actually my notes for things to address as zoning.
Who's our vice chairman? Madam Vice Chairman, what is your intent on how long we are going tonight?
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to wrap it up. I've got dogs I need to put out.
as long as you say put down, I mean.
Put out, right? Not, yeah.
Not put down. No,
yeah,
you're
okay.
Put out.
I think that just Chapter 4, the plan for action, is worth a whole discussion like this, separate because there's... I'm a little confused about or wrestling with how much there's a lot of encouragement of business to do X, Y, Z, and Q and assist them in doing what I call soft stuff,
right?
The part, the hard infrastructure or hard redevelopment. And I'm just wondering I'd like to understand it better. And then I think it's worth a discussion about, should the town be in that business, you know, as opposed to focusing more on hard assets, infrastructure, redevelopment, revitalization, that sort of stuff. In my opinion, some of these business, it just seems to me that some of these business owners, it's in their best interest to do this, and maybe we can put some seed money out, but then let them run, you know.
Right.
Anyway, so I would recommend a possibility of just... Chapter 4 and then the subsequent Chapter 5 as a separate kind of a discussion.
Yeah, I mean, there's enough here that we're not going to get it all tonight.
Right, right. And it's
Madam Vice Chair, I mean, and what we can do, too, because these are work sessions, these are meetings that we can post an agenda in a pretty quick turnaround. So, if, you know, we can communicate this week and understand everybody's schedules and maybe even see if we can get our consultant with us as well to go back and answer some of those other questions. But if we need a couple more meetings, we don't have to wait for the next meeting date as long as you all are, you know, available and would like to meet again on, you know, next week more.
And we can actually maybe even get some of the quick answers on some of the other stuff, too.
That'd be great.
Yep. Yeah.
The one out in the appendix, which is on page 50, they have the market trade area, and I'm a little confused as to what that is. It's 50. It's a nice picture with lots of colors on it. And maybe you can pull it up on the screen.
Is it page 50?
Yeah. 50 page number.
Interesting. I don't have a page 50.
You don't?
No.
Well, you're not. It's Appendix B. Keep turning a page.
Okay.
Next page. There.
50. It appears.
Appearo. See, I'm magical.
You are.
Okay, yes, that map. So when they say the market trade area, my question is everything that's on the map the market trade area, or is it just the colored pieces that says Cave Creek, Carefree, that Dove Valley, Tatum Ranch? I just don't know.
Yeah.
Does it go all the way out to I-17?
It's the colored area. The market trade area.
That would be helpful to clarify.
Yeah, we can clarify that.
Yeah, it goes down to the 101.
Yeah. Well, it does go down to the 101, you know.
Yeah, and this market trade area was determined at the time they did the plan, and I think it was done ad hoc as to say, what do we see the market trade area? So that's kind of how that got created.
Do we believe that's the market trade area now?
No. I'm trying to keep apples to apples, so I know.
I'm not committed to keeping apples to apples.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's wrong... If we're not really drawing from people, or don't intend to draw from people down at DC Ranch Greyhawk, let's take it off the board.
To be honest with you, it's part of why this is getting pushed to the appendix to say, okay, here's what we had, and we're trying to get to a place of where we are today. And I appreciate all your questions that relate to the economics of it, because it's not easy.
No.
And so we're going to try to get. To the, you know, what we don't want to do is spend so much wheels on it, because I personally don't know if it's going to make or break or make a difference of what we're doing too much anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
But we were required to go through the process, so how much brain damage do you go through to kind of to do that? And so that's where we're trying to figure out, and that's what the consultant's just like, look, I can charge you a ton of money to do this. Or we can kind of make
Being
some assumptions.
Being a former consultant, I can appreciate that.
Yeah. And so I did appreciate the fact that she tried to save us money out of the contract by not making us go through an analysis that she's like, hey, you know, maybe you don't need to go through this robust of an analysis again, so we can try to find a way to get you the information that you need to justify and meet the understanding, meet the test of what the redevelopment law is. And so, again, we don't want to snow anybody.
Right.
But we don't want to waste...
But I do want to base it on some reality.
I agree.
I don't care. Personally, I don't care what was in the old plan.
Yeah.
I want to know what's in the new plan.
Yeah.
And it just seems to me that if we're referencing, because if it's not relevant, then let's take it out, unless we're going to put in some. You know, super five-star foodie restaurant that people are going to drive from Chandler to get here.
Yeah.
Get a great view of Continental Mountain if they look north off of the bank, top of the bank building.
And I mean, one of the things about the economic study is it doesn't even truly take, I think, into account some of the destination stay initiative, hotel rooms. So I know that we were looking to add some of that information in.
Some of the comments that I saw in your staff memo here that they were talking about allow for mixed use with Airbnb facilities. Is that, do we not, would we not allow that in town center?
That's a good question. So one of the building owners said, if I were to put your residential units on top, what's the opportunity? Can we use those to rent those out for guest stays? And I said, well, under state law, if you build that as residential, you can use it as a short-term rental. But if you wanted to make it more of a commercial type, then you can fall under the commercial. They're two different things, two ways to accomplish it. If you go into commercial, then it is what it is. It's a commercial space. If you go into residential, then you have the flexibility in the future to just use it as a home. But if the law ever changed, then that's all it's going to be. So those are the risks that those kind of, you know, you take when you make that decision. So the question becomes, are we fine with the concept that somebody who has residential here may use that for on a short-term rental basis?
I'm not real thrilled about the whole thing of doing places that would be Airbnb in our town center.
No.
In the town center? I mean, that's the question. I don't live in the town center, but
I don't really like the Airbnb and the Vibro or whatever.
I don't think it'd even be that viable, too. Because who wants to rent a place over...
I'm going to tell you right now, about half of those
people are going to come. Well, that's a condo complex gated and it's going to be walled in by itself. You put an apartment on top of a bunch of stores, I don't think you're going to get a whole bunch of people who are going to go, oh, gee, let's go to Carefree and let me rent an Airbnb on top of a bunch of stores. I don't think you're going to see people want to do that.
Yeah.
Or the right kind of people.
I don't know about that, but...
The right kind of people.
The right kind of people?
Yeah, I'm being facetious. Not facetious, I'm being realistic.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to... All of a sudden, it turns out that you got people living there that you don't want living there.
I'm not telling you that we were there before. I'm just saying it's something that's been brought up by a property owner that said, hey, what's the position?
It's worthy of a discussion.
I think so, too. The other thing that we're going to need to, I know I need to run out of time here, but the other thing that I really want you guys to focus on and we didn't get to is the idea of eminent domain.
Mm-hmm.
It's a topic of conversation. So,
I saw that there was a section in
there. Yeah, there's a section on eminent domain, and then Phil Corso, the commissioner who's not here, brought up the idea, the understanding of what a government property lease excise taxes or the giblet. So we can kind of go through that, but you know, in this document, there's a couple policy statements about how we could utilize those.
And that's why I think they ought to be in a separate decision.
I'm fine with that. Yeah, because they are very important things, and so
huge.
Yeah.
Well, Madam Chairman, may I make
a motion? Now, first, Stacey, do you have any announcements?
No announcements, but okay. I would like to know if you are interested in an additional few times. I'll send you out a couple emails. I'm thinking Steve's probably going to want to maybe in the next, not to drag this out, but to happen in the next couple weeks.
We can do it right or we can do it over. We can do it right or we can do it over.
Right. Yeah. No, but I'm trying to keep up the momentum of keeping
Let's
at
do
some
it.
Point, we want a plan, too.
Yeah.
So,
that's a great idea, what you said.
And is there any way we can do this in the middle of the room next time? Or are you guys comfortable with this?
No, we're comfortable sitting here.
Yeah, I'm not.
Well, that's your problem. That's your problem. We're sitting up in a day.
I know. I'm like, man.
We're sitting up on a day.
Oh, we're just going to have a discussion.
No, I will tell you.
Turn some pages.
I'm comfortable in this chair. My back has blown out discs.
Yeah, so
pressing on nerves.
Let's keep her happy.
We're making that chair down there.
Yeah, well, it's more than the chair.
And just before we're
having the computer screen right in front of you.
Before you adjourn, I just want to say that, there's only three left, but anybody that wants to come in and talk about this stuff, they better understand it. My office is literally is upstairs. Please come in and ask. This is important stuff for the town. And we really want to get as many people as we can engaged and get their thoughts and ideas. So. So that's one of the things we'll talk about. We didn't get to today was so what we did in the short run is on this and as well as the signage circulation and parking plan, because a lot of it really directly impacts the adjacency, the adjacent neighbors, especially as we look at infrastructure changes that might happen to Tom Darlington and Cave Creek Road. That we went out and we met individually with HOAs and small groups, so they felt like they can really.
Where are you going, Peter? You got to make.
They
it
could really.
Make the.
Do you guys want to adjourn?
We want to adjourn. Let's adjourn. Good.
Peter, I'm ready to run.
Yeah. Peter's making it.
All right. Go ahead.
And I second it.
All right.
Peter made it, and I second it.
Yeah. Okay. I'll talk to them.
Yay or nay?
Aye. Yeah. It's unanimous. Yes. Okay. We're adjourned.
It's a done deal.
Okay.
And actually, it's really hard to get the public engaged.
Mm-hmm.